So we were in the Malach of Tochen, and then we kind of took on a tangent, which is very connected to Malach of Tochen, that really affects our Shabbos experience. That the Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Nun Gimel tells us that Chazal were concerned that when a person would be involved in the refuah process, the healing process, so they might get carried away. You have this very often in Shabbos. Chazal were very nervous about if there was a fire on Shabbos. Chazal made sure that a person shouldn't get carried away, and therefore they asered and they prohibited all refuah on Shabbos. Gzeira shemi yishachik samamana. Maybe a person is going to come and grind medicine on Shabbos. Now, we pointed out that our medications is the one example that it would be mutter to grind, because we said that a medication that is not naturally made and is formed by the pharmaceutical company, so that would be an application of ein tochen achar tochen, and it would be mutter for you to cut a pill on Shabbos, and that would not be a violation of tochen. But because the poskim say there are cases, even bezman hazeh, that it's rare, but that there is shchikas hamonim, and even if there wouldn't be cases even bezman hazeh, but Chazal prohibited refuah, and for us to try to repeal that, we don't have that capability. That's what we learned out. We said last week, we learned that out from Parshas Yisro, that if a Bezdin makes a gzera, something became usher in an earlier generation, we don't have the capability of repealing that, just because, and this is an important idea and concept to know in Yiddishkeit, that just because things aren't necessarily applicable, and it's the old generation, and that doesn't exist anymore, Chazal asserted it. And once Chazal asserted it, that's our obligation, just like it's our obligation to follow everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says anything that the rabbi says. L'sasr min adavar yimin usmol. You have to, shalav yichav izkenechav shalav yichav. You have to listen to your rabbis, to your zkenim, and whatever they said, whatever they put in place, unless we have any heterim from our gedolim and our gaonim, so then we do not have the ability to repeal that. And that's why this halacha is in full force. But that, we pointed out, this halacha of refuah, number one, only applies to refuah. Means if a person is taking something that's not healing, That's an important example, and an important situation where it could be technically permitted. If a person is not in the process of healing, if a person is taking medication for not, and healing is a little bit of a loose term, not to cure or to remove any problematic ailment or something. For instance, I'm taking it, we said last week, for preventative reasons, but I'm not actually healing something that's problematic right now. Or I'm taking medication for some other reason. I'm taking birth control. That would not be included in this gezera of refuah. Refuah means to heal, and therefore that would not be included. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes: if a person can't sleep and they're very bothered, they can't sleep, so to take sleeping pills, he doesn't think that that's refuah, because you're not really curing anything by taking sleeping pills. And there are other examples that we'll get to that aren't the classic refuah that would fall into this category. But I think that it's important to focus on this as not really such a chumrah for a number of reasons. Number one, Chazal only prohibited this for a non-sick person. If you are what's called, and we spoke about this at great length last week, a chola she'en bo sakana, you're bedridden, you cannot function normally, so then Chazal said that the gzeira, mishum refuah, we are going to repeal. Now, I want to just analyze that for a second from a halachic standpoint. It really doesn't really make sense. If we're now presenting that Chazal made a gzeira, and they said midrabanan, it is prohibited for you to take medication or for you to do any healing or medicinal activity, right? We pointed out last week, included in that would be some intense exercises, intense massages, anything that's not like classic normal. We said last week, if you just move around your hand a little bit, you're doing a normal, fine. But if you're going to go jogging, that's considered something that would be under the Isser of Refuah for that reason. But let's say you're in the middle of doing any medicinal activity. So Chazal said that's an Isser Derabanan. So I don't understand. So why is it mutter for a Chol Sheim Sakana? If we go back and we analyze, this really is important and fundamental for many different scenarios on Shabbos. What are the heterim for a Chol Sheim Sakana? Person has the flu. We're just talking about the flu. Person has a flu. They're not a Chol Sheish Sakana. They're gonna get even if they don't take Tamiflu and even if they don't take any of these medications, they'll get over it in a week. Fine. But they're a Chol Sheim Sakana, they can't function, they're in bed. So now, what's mutter for them? So Chazal tell us the halacha is, this is a major machlokas rishonim, but we paskin lahalacha, and this is important to know, that we allow for a Chol Sheim Sakana a double derabanan. What's called in halacha a shvus de shvus. Means if the entire activity, the whole prohibition that you're discussing that you want to be matir, is at in the first place derabanan, and now I'm going to do it in a rabbinic way to add a second derabanan, then that's going to be mutter for a Chol Sheim Sakana. That was a leniency that was applied to a Chol Sheim Sakana. Okay, so then I don't get it. So why is refuah mutter? You're now taking medication. Where's the second derabon? You only have one derabon. So this is automatic, right off the bat, from before we even discuss anything, a leniency. It's a specific dispensation, a kula, that Chazal gave you. You're right. In general, when you want to do a malacha derabon, when you want to do an activity that's prohibited on Shabbos, midirabon, you better add a second derabon in order to make sure about that, and to be matir and permitted. But came along Chazal and say, medication is different. Medication we're not going to prohibit in a situation of a person being a Chol Sheim Sakana. It was like a built-in clause to the prohibition of refuah was, we'll apply it to a person with a headache. We'll apply it to a person in the first category that doesn't feel so hot, doesn't feel so great, is what's called an halacha mechush. He has something that he was actually going to pop an Advil right now, but he could function. Then we're going to apply the Isser Derabbanan or Refuah. But once you come into a Chol Sheim Sakana, we're allowing you to do a Derabbanan, and even just one Derabbanan. So that's already a leniency that Chazal were giving us, that they gave in an internal clause that we're not going to prohibit it in a situation of a Chol Sheim Sakana. Yeah, yeah. Do it in an indirect way. Not required. Another example of a tremendous leniency for a Chol Sheim Sakana, and you'll see where in a second where I'm building up to. Chazal said another absolute heter for a Chol Sheim Sakana, for someone who can't function normally, is something that we learned about in the last series that we gave, Amir Al-Aq. In general, you are not allowed to ask a guy to do a Malacha De'oraisa for you. Even if it's in situations that it's permissible. It's a tzarech Shabbos, it's a tzarech mitzvah, I need to get my shofar, I need to get my lulav, whatever it is. Chazal say shvus to shvus, but not more than a shvus to shvus. If you're going to ask a goy to drive a car for you, that's not permitted. That's a goy doing a malacha d'oraisa on your behalf. There were some opinions of the Rishonim, but we don't paskin like that. We do not allow that on Shabbos. Okay, but for a Chol Sheim Sakana, the Ramah says, that's not true. That, the Gemara says, Beferish, it's a really Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, I think it's on Daf Kuf Chav Tes, the Gemara says, by a Chol Sheim Sakana, they were matir all Amir La'akum. Even if it's going to be what? A Daraisa, driving a car. If it's going to be turning on a light, whatever it is, you don't have to make cheshbonos over here. By Amir La'akum, they were matir. So that's another kula when it comes to a Chol Sheim Sakana that applies to some of the old halachos that we learned. The reason why this is so important is not only that it's applicable to us, is because the Ramah has something that's very, very helpful for all of us here.
The Rama said, included in this chol shem bo sakana, that I'm telling you all these leniencies of, one, don't worry about the medication issue, two, don't worry about amir lakum issues, is tzarchei katan. Tzarchei katan, the needs of a katan, of a child, is included in this chol shem bo sakana category. Now, the million-dollar question that poskim do not have a clear answer is, what does tzorche katan mean, and who exactly is a katan? Now, very young age, I think all the poskim are going to agree. Under 3 or 4, when a kid's a very young child, I think all the poskim are going to agree. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you have the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, who was not always such a makel. Dayan Weiss has a lashon, and he is quoted, that a child is considered until the age of 9. Now, that's pretty high. That's very impressive. That, what do you mean? I'm not going to have to. I can automatically assume that this child is a chol shem bo sakana, even though he's strong and he's. So poskim say you have to use your seichel over here. That it's not necessarily going to be an ironclad, you know, cross-the-board age for every situation. There are certain children that need things more than other children. There are certain children that are weaker, that need certain things to function. And there are certain predicaments, there are certain situations that will be more of a tzarach katan for one katan than for another katan. So you have to. There is no bottom line there. Well, Yashiv has a lashon like you gotta judge the katan. Normally, it's probably at a much younger age than 9 years old. But you know, if it's a tremendous need, so then potentially it could be for the older age. Where does he get the magical number of 9? So the Minchas Yitzchak applied that when it comes to fasting on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says in the end of Yuma that the kids that don't even fast whatsoever is up until the age of 9. So he says, you see from there that there's a certain weakness automatically from the kids that Chachamim didn't even make what's called Tainus L'Shaos. They didn't even make hourly fast. They didn't even have them participate whatsoever in the Tainus on Yom Kippur, obviously assuming that these children were weak. The poskim say, you don't necessarily extrapolate from the halacha of a Tainus to the halachas of being Mekel on Shabbos, but bottom line, what you do see from this halacha and from this Rama is that we do not approach the sugya of refuah when it comes to children in the same way we approach it when it comes to parents. So we do have a more of a lenient, and especially when it's necessary for a kid, then a person has the right to be mako on any one of these leniencies that I just mentioned, especially when it comes to medicine, and that would include. That would include if a kid has a diaper rash, you know, and again, you're making sure not to smear onto the body. But at the same time, you're not only worried about memareach. There's another issue that you have to be worried about: refuah b'shabbos. I'm not allowed to just do this automatically if the child doesn't need this. So when it comes to, I don't have to start judging: is he a meichush? Is he a chol shem bo sakana? He's a kid. He's a kid and he has a rash and it's uncomfortable. Automatically, I can do it in a permissible way, either put it on the diaper, or if that doesn't work, to dab it. But that would get rid of the issue of refuah. A lot of times people ask, you know, before Yom Kippur, they ask Shilas about pills. Can I take this? Can I take that? And I often point out to them, before they're jumping to assume how to take the pill, you have to take care of a Shabbos question. What about the fact, forget that this is a tinus, what about the fact that it's Shabbos? What about the fact that it's Shabboson? What about the fact that there's an isser of refuah? Now, a lot of times that isser is not going to apply. And if you are in a state of chol shem bo sakana, so that's not going to apply. But again, you can't ignore, just because there's an isser d'oraisa, you can't ignore that there's also an isser d'rabbanan of refuah. Yeah. No. Yeah, if it's necessary and it's so, then I think that would be included in Medida L'Tzarech Mitzvah. Yeah.
Now, what about antibiotics for adults?
Excellent. So I'm going to skip a little bit. So let's talk about it. So the Mishnah says a person takes some sort of chiltis, some sort of vegetable that they soaked, and I don't know what the story with the medicine was in the back of it, but the Rashba has a tshuva that we don't follow the medicines in the Gemara. But there was clearly some medicine that they used to take, and the Gemara says not to take it on Shabbos, but then the Gemara says something strange about if you started on Thursday, so then you could take it on Shabbos. So it's not exactly clear what's going on over there. So some Rishonim say, yeah, it's talking about that it wasn't really medicinal, it wasn't really anything healthy. But the Rambam clearly holds that it was medicine, and you were allowed to take it because you weren't starting it on Shabbos. So the Poskim say, the Chazanish is quoted as saying that, and Rosh Shlomo Kluger is quoted as saying that that's a blanket heter. That any time you have a larger dosage, I think that was the name of the shir, finish the dose. So as long as you have a larger dosage, so you can finish the dose. You can continue the medication that you were taking from before Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a little bit of a more machmir approach. He says that you're allowed to follow that pshat of the Rambam, that you can continue a dosage if you're concerned that by me not taking this dosage, it's not going to accomplish the refuah and it's going to throw me back. Right? Now it's going to reverse the refuah. But just to arbitrarily decide to now take it on Thursday, where you're not going to have to take it on Shabbos, where it could equally be done on Sunday, then, and the three doses then Rosh Shlomo Zalman would not be as excited about that. If you have a dosage like antibiotics, I think there are two reasons why that's a little different. Antibiotics, number one, a lot of times you're playing around with not cholish embo sakanas, you're playing around with infections. So there, you know, it could be a lot of times that you need to take that medication on that day, and if you're not taking that, it's not going to cure something that could be infectious, and it could be much more serious than a cholish embo sakana. Also, antibiotics is not really similar to the Gemara's 3 days. In the 3 days, you have the option of saying, don't start it Thursday, just start it on Monday, or just start it on Sunday. Why are you getting Shabbos into the equation? But antibiotics usually is like a 10-day dosage that by definition I need to take it on Shabbos. If by definition I need to take it on Shabbos, then many of the poskim are more makel, and I think even Rav Shlomo Zalman would be more makel in such a situation. So off the bat, you have the Chazanish that was makel any time that you take it in those situations. In terms of antibiotics, I think you have more of a kula, because number one, usually it's a longer dosage, and number two, there you're dealing with a more serious situation, and it will be, number one, cholish yeshbo sakana potentially, and number two, it always is including a Shabbos dosage.
Is it included like a daily medication, like a cardiac medication or something?
A cardiac medication, if it's a cholish yeshbo sakana, so none of this applies. None of this applies. Anything that could be a anything that is not a sakana but could lead to a sakana, so then that's automatically not included in anything we're saying.
But often, like a cardiac medication or blood pressure is preventative.
So it's another heter is preventative, right? Right. I told the guys when there was whitefish salad at the Shalashuddis. I said this is the example that I gave for the preventative. Because if I would have a Tums right now, I would take it, because I know, and Kachava, 30 minutes later, I was having heartburn. So, you know, that's what it was. Fine. So those are the Mekilim about preventative. Again, that idea of not being merapa anything, I'm not curing anything, I'm just avoiding getting somewhere else. So let's talk about another kula outside of finishing the dosage, which is one kula that I wanted to get to. And we talked about non-refuahs. Now I want to talk about Michael Briam. The Gemara says that, let's say you're sick, and you really don't feel well, and you want to take something right now that's going to make you feel better. That's clearly for the purposes of refuah. So the Gemara says, even if you're taking something that is going to help your situation, if it's Meichel Briyim, which means it's a food that healthy people eat, then that's going to be mutter on Shabbos. Even for someone who has a meichush, who otherwise would not be allowed to take medication. Now, does that mean that I can do it? The Rambam says that I can do that even with kavana, to be merapim me, even to heal me. So let's say I take chicken soup, you know, because I really feel sick. Or let's say there are certain candies that I take. Or let's say I take schnapps because it, I don't know, does something for my throat. So I wouldn't be allowed to start gargling it and doing something abnormal that's clearly only for someone in a medicinal situation and a healing process, but I could take those shots, even if I'm the person that's doesn't normally, you know, drink with the guys, you know what I'm saying, like that doesn't have these shots. But there are people that on a normal Shabbos would do that in order to either warm themselves up or take away the pain, you know. So that would be something that would be mutter. Okay? So that's what the Gemara says when it comes to Meichel Briyim. So even if, the Rambam says, even if it's Kavanosol or Refua, as long as it's not perceived by the public that it's necessarily for Refua, because that's an activity that could very easily be seen and be done by someone who is healthy, then that's going to be Mutter under Meichel Briyim. Not everyone agrees to the Rambam, but that's the Psak Halacha. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can have the kavana, but you said that it shouldn't appear to the public that it's for.
Yeah, I don't know why, meaning you're publicizing that you're doing it for health, meaning now do you cause it to be problematic because you're saying it's for health? I'm not sure. I mean, you could just have the cup of tea and not make any announcements. You know?
Throw lozenges, you don't usually.
So I have a big suffix about this. So throw lozenges. But I love Ludens. I was just about to say that. I love Ludens. So I'm very masubic about Ludens. But also, the truth is, I'm also masubic about Ricolas. People have Ricolas all the time. So I don't know. You have to like take a... I think... And also, people just have them around because like, once you're going to have candies, you might as well have something that'll be helpful. So I'm very masubic about Ludens because I think Ludens are some of the best candies. Yeah, so... Yeah.
And your wife was giving your guest tea, and she showed me a box of tea that she bought for you once, whatever. It said, like, coat throat.
Yeah, she just got it from me,
said,
yeah.
My husband said it's a problem on Shabbos because it could be
Rafua. Yeah, yeah.
She actually bought it for a time. Not for Shabbos.
Right.
Because
right.
I guess people wouldn't normally drink it.
Right.
You wouldn't drink that, just the tea. It has like a special something.
Yeah, it's specifically to do something for, so then that's not Meichel Briyim anymore, so. It all depends on what the society's approach to that entity. But here's where things get interesting. So I don't know, in terms of your question, if a person makes an announcement,
I mean,
and then... Right, so I don't think that because someone said something now that makes it now usher. Right. Except the Gemara does, the Gemara in Brachos does say that it's kavanosol refuah, but I think that even if you state that, as long as you're doing something that without your statement it would have been perceived to be as a normal activity, even if you do kavanosol refuah, and the poskim don't say that you have to be makbid to not state anything, and for sure b'di'evid that you would still be allowed. Okay. So what about? So we're talking about a chola that has food that is kavanos l'refua and has a healing element to it. What about a situation of a bari that takes a medicine? So Rashi learns that the Gemara talks about someone taking some medicine on Shabbos, And Rashi says that that would be a problem if it's kavanos l'refuah. Rashi says, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Rashi says it's talking about a bari to be eating such a medicine. But the Rambam doesn't talk about such an issue. And there's a major debate between the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham. What would be the halacha of a healthy person that wants to take a medicine? Now, you're all thinking right now, why would a healthy person be taking medication? So the answer is vitamins. What is the halacha of vitamins on Shabbos? So comes along the Beis Yosef, and he thinks that Shitas HaRambam is against the Rashi, and he thinks that vitamins are absolutely permitted, that the only thing that Chazal prohibited, just like we said before, that if you're not doing anything to heal, so then it's not included in the Isser, so the Beis Yosef said, so obviously a Bari, someone who doesn't have any problem, and he's taking medication, so then that would be something that's mutter. Now the Magen Avraham says that that's not the case. And a Bari also who takes something l'refu also, it's usser. But Ramosha Feinstein tries in his tshuva to understand, what does that mean? If he's a Bari, how is he taking something l'refu also? What is he coming to prohibit? It sounds like an oxymoron. It's a Bari, but at the same time he's healing something. So comes along Ramosha Feinstein, and Ramosha says as follows. There really are two situations and two reasons a person could take a vitamin. A person could take a vitamin because they're weak and because they need some nutrients to be mechazik, their guf. In such a situation, says R' Moshe, he thinks vitamins would be usser on Shabbos, and that's what the Magen Avraham is coming to tell us, that would be prohibited, even though this person is not even having a headache. He's not even having a mechush. He's not even in the first category of what Chazal asserd. He's a bari, yet refuah is still asser. Why? Because there is a certain type of refuah even for a healthy person. What? To be mechazik the guf. To be mechazik the guf. But if a person's taking a vitamin, why? Says Rav Moshe. And again, this is Rav Moshe arguing very similar to what we presented in the past. Preventative. That I want to make sure I don't get to any difficult situations. Or I don't get missing this supplement. Or I'm right now, I'm totally fine and I have it, but you know, my shita is extra vitamin C can't hurt you. Not because the doctor prescribed it, or not because the doctor ran some tests and saw I was missing an iron or any of those nutrients. So then Rav Moshe says, even the Magen Avraham would allow vitamins in such a situation. So if that's the case, you know, those, you know, you have certain, we could take a poll over here, but like, you have people that, you know, they just give out vitamins to kids. Every day. They have anyone do that over here? That every kid every morning takes vitamins? What? So that would be... So that would be an example, of where Rav Moshe thought that would be an example that even according to Rav Moshe that it would be totally mutter. But if you have situations that a person is weak and a person needs it for strengthening them or for missing certain nutrients, then it would potentially be problematic. So now you're all going to get very upset. So if that's the case, so what's with prenatal vitamins? Right? So according to this suggestion of Rav Moshe, because most of the time it's not preventative, and it's not just to be safe, it's usually because you're missing in nutrients, so one would argue that prenatals would be included in this Rav Moshe. And even Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that any time it's just to supplement for certain foods that you're not getting, so then he thought that one would be a little bit makel. So according to Shlomo Zalman, one could argue that if there are certain foods that I could eat, but I just don't eat, but I don't know if that would apply to missing iron in terms of eating that. So it really depends. You know, you'd have to ask your doctor. If I miss one dosage of vitamins on Shabbos, is that going to really affect my situation? And if it is, and if, again, anything that's there to be mechazek the fetus, so then that would be a different scenario, and that would be something that we would be matir over here, above and beyond the regular situation. Yeah.
No, that's like there are certain nutrients they find like early in pregnancy like affect the baby.
Right, right. So if that's the case, if that's what the doctor's saying, right, so that would be. So Rav Moshe thought that if a person is doing it for any chizuk haguf, so then that's refuah also. But as depressing as this sounds, and again, I'm not saying that it's going to be prohibited, like you're saying. If it's to help the baby, and those situations that it's going to be significant, then that would be a different argument, that would be matir. But according to Rav Moshe's guidelines, one could make the argument that prenatal vitamins would have been his first category, according to the Magen Avraham, of a refuah, which is not just healing, but is giving strength to a weaker state. But again, because there is the fetus over here that you're taking care of, that does change around things. But in general, for other vitamins, if people are taking vitamins, because let's say a zakin doesn't automatically fit, just because we said by a katan, that a katan is a chol l'shem hazakana, we don't say automatically someone who's elderly is automatically chol l'shem hazakana. It could be many times they will be in the category of chol l'shem hazakana. A rav has to tell you whether that they're in a category of chol l'shem hazakana. But a zakin is not automatically. So now he's going to have to make a decision. You know, if he's just taking vitamins to just give him a little more chizuk, and he just has a mechush ba'alma, he's not a chol l'shem hazakana. So according to Rav Moshe, that would be a situation that we would consider it a refuah, even though he's technically a bari at that stage, or just a regular adult that happens to take vitamins often and needs to take vitamins to just give them a little bit of a boost on a daily basis, but they're fully functional on that day, would they be allowed to? So Rav Moshe would say not so. But the reason why I think this Rav Moshe is very important is for tremendous leniency. What does it mean, tremendous leniency? I'm being very machmir, vitamins. Again, keep in mind, by the way, even if you're being machmir for Rav Moshe, just keep in mind that the Beis Yosef totally disagreed with this whole thing. The Beis Yosef, so again, when I'm saying prenatal vitamins, it's not exactly for you, it's for the baby, right? Keep in mind that you're also, within the Beis Yosef's category, you're totally, vitamins is something that's totally mutter at the beginning. So Rav Moshe said we should be machmir for the Magen Avraham. But we still have the Beis Yosef in our back pocket, keep that in mind. Now, why is this Rav Moshe very important? Because I thought the following. In a totally different area of halacha. But it's just, I think it's interesting because it really connects all different halakim of Shulchan Aruch. This is a common question that women ask me in terms of vitamins. The halacha is that if something is treif and something is not kosher, if it's nifsal, if it becomes spoiled and it's no longer edible, ain't nevela, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, a nevela, she'ena re'uya leger, a nevela that a human being would not eat anymore, that is no longer a nevela. So the Gemara learns from there that that's not specific to nevela, but the Gemara learns from there that treif, that spoils, doesn't carry an Issur D'Oraisa anymore of treif. So therefore, if you have food, and that food is for sure an Issur D'Oraisa, but it went through some, you know, spoiling process, and now it's what's called nosin tam lifgam, it's no longer tasting good, so then you would not be in violation of an Issur D'Oraisa, you would not get malchus for eating that item. I say that not getting malchus because I'm saying that there would still be an Issur D'Rabbanan to eat a nevela she'ena ru'i lagir. Why would that be? So that's for the following reason. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh. The Gemara in Psachim talks about chametz that was totally burnt up. And then the person decides to put the chametz, to ingest it and to put it in his mouth and eat it after it's like charcoal on Pesach. So the Rosh points out from the Gemara, it seems that that would still be usher for you to eat it. So the Rosh asks, why? it's nevela she'ena ruliger. It's nifsal. It's no longer carrying that issur d'oraisa. It's charcoal now. It's totally inedible. So says the Rush, by the fact that you're deciding to eat it, you go through the process and you kind of like revive the treif, and you, says the Rush, are achshevei. You now consider this to be food on your in your own personal reality, and therefore that now becomes usser. Now it could be that that isser might only be usser midrabanan, but that isser now tells me that even some though an item went through a process and a procedure that it spoiled the item, the fact that I am now ingesting it, the fact that I am now eating it, I am reviving that treif, I am reviving that nevela, I am now being machshiv that non-kosher food, and that now becomes something that the Shulchan Aruch says is usser. Person cannot take spoiled food that's non-kosher and eat it, even though you technically would not get malchus, because of that Rush, because of achshivei. Fine. However, so that really comes now, because of that Rush, that now really puts a dilemma for us, not only on Pesach, but throughout the year. So, do our medications need a hechsher or not? So, the Shagas Aryeh, and many poskim, many rabbanim will tell you that yes, that this applies, and based on this Rush, since you're now ingesting the food, even though right now you might be taking it for as a chol she'im usakana, says the Shagas Aryeh, that achshevei applies even to a person who's taking it for refuah purposes, and that would be something that's problematic. Okay? Now, there might be other leniencies to rely on that are questionable. Some poskim say, since there's a mixture and it's not exactly the example that the Rush was talking about, what was the Rush talking about? The Rush was talking about taking something that was chametz, it's an, on its own, it's independent, and I'm popping it in my mouth. So there, achshevei is applicable, because I'm now considering this item, I'm ignoring the process and the spoiling process that it went through, and I'm going to now gobble it up. But come along some achronim, come along the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and other tshuvas, and they say, one second, over here, when it comes to medication, there's a whole mixture of ingredients that this is in. There's many different items. It's not just treif that's in here. So therefore, maybe you only say achshevei when I'm eating the item on its own, but not when it's in a mixture amongst other ingredients that I'm eating it with. So that's a questionable kula. Probably machlokas and tosfosim in different mesechtas, whether or not achshevei would apply in a taruvus, in a mixture. But comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein, and comes along also the Yad Avram and Shulchan Aruch, and they say the following kula against the Shagas Aryeh. They say, achshevei, the Rush was talking about where a person was healthy and he was eating it. But if a person is taking it for medicinal reasons, a person is taking it for refuah purposes, so then what? So there's no achshevei. You're not being machshevei. You're now just taking it because you need to be cured. You're not just eating something that was that now you're saying is in your opinion good and edible and something that you like to eat. Who was machshev of this? I happen to be. There has to be a certain, you know, disgusting item. They do half the things they do in the hospitals are disgusting. You know what I'm saying? It's not because I choose it. It's not because I'm machshev of it. It's unfortunate, the situation that I'm in, that I have to take it. So therefore, says Rav Moshe by definition, says the Yad Avram by definition, a person that's taking an item, l'refu, is never reviving that item and never is machshev of it, and it's heter gomer, according to the Yad Avram and according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Not everyone agrees to Rav Moshe, like I said, the Shagas Aryeh says, and therefore, many poskim say, as I'll tell people, if you could try to get a medicine, the exact same medication, with a hechsher, matovu manayim, great. But if you can't, and a lot of times you can't, then there's no achshevei. Because Rav Moshe said, according to Rav Moshe, and according to the Yad Avram, you're taking it for refuah purposes. So where's the million-dollar question? So what about when it's not for refuah? What about when it's for vitamins? What about vitamins? Do you have achshevei when it comes to vitamins? I don't know. Yad Avram doesn't talk about it. But someone does talk about it. Rav Moshe in Hilchos Shabbos makes a distinction between two different categories of vitamins. A vitamin that a person's taking naturally as a bari, this is my three pills that I take every day next to my cup of orange juice and my waffles, that's what I'm taking on a daily basis. Or a vitamin that we're saying because he's missing nutrients, because he needs to take it l'chizak haguf, even though the person is in a category of a bari. So listen to what we just did. I had this idea based on Rav Moshe, and I was told that Rav Belsky had the same approach, that based on Rav Moshe Feinstein's chumrah, that you guys were not so happy about, that taking the vitamins for whatever reason, as long as it's to add nutrients, as long as that's to be mechazik leguf, and it's not just stam, or it's not preventative, then that would be something that would be considered refuah on Shabbos, and the Magen Avraham was saying that refuah would be something that's prohibited. So if we paskin like that Magen Avraham and Ilchos Shabbos, we just created for ourselves a tremendous kula in Hilchos Kashrus. We just said that not only if you can't find medication that doesn't have hashgacha, again, assuming this medication doesn't have taste. I'm sorry I didn't point that out. All this is talking about classic pills that don't have sweeteners or coatings or is not like anything with it. Anytime it's sweeteners, so then there's no achshave over here. This is not nifsal anymore. It was revived on its own, so that's already a whole different sugya and a complicated sugya when it comes to children's medications. And we're not gonna have time to get into there, but that is very complicated. But and the question is better than the answer, so I don't want to talk about it. But I think Advil is really a real good one. Advil. I think Advil. A lot of the Advil ones are very good ones. So one second. So let's just finish. So what we just did is we just said that if you don't have any flavors, and the medications when it comes to regular medications, according to Rav Moshe, would not be achshavei. So we just now pointed out that a lot of these vitamins that are taken for chizak haguf, that are for baris, for people that are not necessarily not functional or not necessarily carrying any ailments, they're not even in the category of a mechush ba'alma, they don't even have a headache, they don't even have anything that they're suffering with, but they need it in order to supplement certain nutrients. Since Rav Moshe had the machmir approach when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, so that would be a reason that you could be mekel also based on Rav Moshe, that would be considered refuah as well when it comes to Hilchos Kashrus, and that would not necessarily, again, if you can get it with a hechsher, that's the best. But it would be the same kula as medication, that if you can't get it with a hechsher, so then those types of vitamins would not be achshavei in such a situation. So that is when it comes to vitamins. And again, my chobrim we spoke about, non-refua, finishing the dosage. And I think that is a wrap for our series on medication.